Good morning. It is a good morning. It's a good day to be a part of the church that Christ established, to be here, to be a part of this worship service. Thank you to all those who have led us. Thank you to you for being here and being a part of it, being a part of this time together. This morning, I want us to think about a question, and it's a question that we've all maybe heard or maybe even at times in our lives considered and wondered about in our own lives. I think about my family, you know, and there are a lot of members of my family are not members of the church, and you may be the same, and we ask the question, will being a good person get me into heaven? There are a lot of people who have that mindset that, well, God is a God of love. And so when we all get to the end of this life, what's really going to happen is God's just going to let everybody into heaven. This is a critical question. This is one we all really need to consider soberly. A lot of people, a lot of good people in our world, is just being good enough? You know, you consider your life. Are you a good person? I'd think most of us are going to say, yeah, I'm a good person. You know, there are a lot of choices we make in our lives, a lot of decisions we make. Some are good and some are bad. But I think if we were to think about our own lives, we'd see ourselves kind of in the middle, wouldn't we? Well, I'm not perfect. I'm not evil, though. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm a good person. There are a lot of people have that idea. I'm a good person. Well, really the question is, to start off, is what does it really mean to be a good person? When someone says, I think I'm a good person, you're a good person, what are they saying? Merriam-Webster defines being good as of favorable character or tendency. I feel like I got a pretty good character. I got my flaws. I got some skeletons in the closet, right? Wouldn't most of us say that? I'm a good person. Another website I looked at defined being a good person as, they made this statement, determine what being good means to you personally. Some people think that being a good person is as simple as not doing harm to another. But it is not always about what you don't do, but as much what you do for others. Being a good person also includes helping yourself as much as others. I read that and I'm just as confused as when I started. They first start off saying, good needs to be defined by you personally. And then they turn around and say, well, being good is not just what you don't do, it's what you do. Well, does it mean personally or not? Because they're somewhat defining what it means to be good. The reality is that the world is confused when it comes to being good. Some people believe being good is someone who helps others, who maybe gives to others. Some think that being good means I'm a kind person, that I try to be loving to people, that I try to not be judgmental of others' behaviors. While another person believes being a good person means I'm standing up for justice and truth. All these different ideas about what it means to be good. And so each of us has our own definition of what it means to be a good person. A bigger question I want us to consider this morning, and I think a more important question, is not what a good person is. It's, can we be good enough? Jesus says something interesting in Matthew chapter 7. He's in the middle of this long sermon. You know, talk about people who preach long sermons. His went 3 chapters. That lasted a while. But he says in that chapter, he talks about not being a hypocritical judge. Don't judge people hypocritically. Remember to inspect your own eye before you go looking into others. And then he goes on in verse 13 to say, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's the place we don't want to go. And there are many who go in by it. A lot of people on their way to a place they don't want to go. That's Jesus talking, isn't it? It's not me. It's not someone else. It's Jesus saying, there are a lot of people who are headed in the wrong direction. Notice as he continues in verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's heaven, right? That's what he's talking about, eternity with God. He says there's just a few who are going to find it. Now, he doesn't give us an exact number, but the idea of it being difficult and hard, and only a few are going to choose to do what needs to be done to get there. He goes on a bit later in verse 21 to say it this way. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who thinks they're going to heaven is getting to heaven. Now, that's a sober statement. And that's not made by anyone but Christ. I mean, he's the one speaking there. Notice as he continues. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Haven't we been a good person? Can't you see it in my life? I've tried to be good. I've tried to do good things. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You ever had someone say something to you that kind of surprised you? That maybe kind of hurt a little bit? I mean, the greatest hurts are from those that we don't expect, right? When someone says something to us that bites a little bit, that really is convicting, that hurts because we're not prepared for it. These individuals are not prepared to hear what they're hearing. They have lived in all good conscience thinking, I'm getting into heaven. God turns to them and says, depart from me, I never knew you. That is a scary, horrible thing to hear. Think about being good enough. Jesus makes this statement when someone comes to him and says in Matthew 19 and verse 16, the person comes and says, good teacher, what good thing, we're talking about being a good person, what good work, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? It's a good question. That's the question we're asking, isn't it? What good thing, God, must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, it's interesting. Jesus doesn't answer that question right away. He instead focuses on the first part, good teacher. And he says, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. Something we can learn from that statement is, Jesus says there is no one who is good but God. Can I be good enough? Well, Jesus declares you're not good. And then he goes on to actually answer the question. He says, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. The commandments of who? Of God. Can I be good enough? Well, you're not good. Notice what Paul says in the passage that was read earlier by Andy. Thank you for reading that, Andy. From Romans chapter 3. Paul, quoting Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, writes these words. There is none righteous or good. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. And then he repeats again at the end of verse 12, there is none who does good, no, not one. And he puts a finishing statement in verse 23 when he says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is both sobering, but it's also, that's a difficult thing to hear, isn't it? I'm not good. I can never be good enough because I'm not good. I'm not righteous. What does that leave us with? Well, we think about if we can't be good enough, we're all one day going to face God's judgment. All mankind will be brought before God. We all will. And if I stand there in front of Him in this state that mankind finds himself in, as not being good, can never be good enough, that's a scary thought. How can I then appease the judgment and the wrath of God? There is hope. There is a great hope. But it begins something we identify as faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrews writer spends a lot of time talking about faith, and he gives all these examples. But in verse 6, I want you to notice what he says about faith. He says, now, without faith, if we do not possess faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not about being good. It's not about being a good person. It's about being a person of faith. If I stand there in any other condition outside of being a faithful believer in God, I stand there in an impossible situation. I do not want to stand before God outside of faith. He identifies what faith is in verse 1. He says, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, when we talk about faith, that's a big topic, isn't it? What is faith? What does it mean to be faithful? I want you to notice Romans chapter 10. Paul is exhorting the great need the world has to hear the gospel. And in verse 16, he goes on to say about preaching the gospel. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord says, Lord, who has believed our report? So part of having faith comes from hearing the gospel. Watch what he says in verse 17 when he says, for faith comes what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith originate in our hearts? Where does it come from? Where is it ingrained from? It's from hearing the word of God. Now, I think it's interesting to think there about that word hearing. Now, I can listen, but sometimes I listen without hearing. You ever been doing something? I'm bad for this. I like noise. Like, I like to have something going on. I don't know why I don't like silence. But, like, even if I'm just working out in the garage or working around the house, I just like to have some background noise. I'm not really listening to it or hearing it. I'm just kind of listening. It's kind of back there. I'm not really paying attention to it. Sometimes, I think we all do that. You ever read something? Maybe it was in school and it was something difficult to understand and you kind of read it, but you're not really hearing what's being said. Hearing God, the Word of God, is more than just listening. It's more than just reading. Notice what he said in verse 16. Not all have what? Obeyed. Hearing the Word of God has to do with how I respond to the Word of God. Am I responding in an obedient way? How I respond says a lot about my faith. Paul says to the Galatians in Galatians 3 and verse 11, he says, the just shall live by faith. How do you live your life? Are you living a life that is guided and directed by the faith? By the faith in Jesus Christ that is guided by the Word of God? Directed by the Word of God? That's why I don't understand people who believe, you know, yeah, I obeyed the gospel, but then when it comes to day-to-day life, they live any way they want to. And they feel like if they just show up on Sunday, that's enough for me. Again, it's that mindset of I'm a pretty good person. But Paul says in Galatians 3 and verse 11, the just what? Shall live by the faith, or by faith, I'm sorry, by faith, faith in the Son of God. How we live in our lives. There's something interesting that Jude says in Jude 1 and verse 3. He says that we should contend earnestly for what? For the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. You know, there's this idea in the religious culture that my faith is unique to me. Like the statement was made online about being a good person. You know, you find out what it means to be good to you personally. Is that what Jude is clarifying for us? There is a common salvation. Faith is built on a common principle. It's not unique to me. There's a common faith between us all. That's why Paul told the Romans that he would wish that they would be of the same mind and the same judgment. In regard to what, Paul? The faith. We don't have a personal faith in Christ. We have a common faith together. And that faith must originate from the Word of God. Who is that faith in? Well, Paul wrote to the Galatians about himself, and he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ living in you. And the life which I now live, I live what? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our faith is grounded in what? It's grounded in Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I must live my life to the glory of Jesus Christ. I must try to imitate Christ in my life. Because as a Christian, I have crucified that old man. And so we understand that all must come to God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us," you and me, "with what? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." If we want to be blessed eternally, to live with God in heaven, to be a part of that number, I must be found in Christ. He goes on a chapter later in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. He's in a discussion about grace. And he says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Through faith in what? In Christ. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I can't earn it. I can't be good enough. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for what? We are his workmanship. Created in whom? Christ Jesus. For what? Good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In what? In the good works of Christ. I can't be good enough by myself. But in Christ, I can become a worker of God. Outside of Christ, I am hopeless. My condition is hopeless. But in Christ, I have found my hope. In Romans chapter 5, Paul writes about the sacrifice of Christ. He says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." That's you and me. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone may even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love," how? "Toward us in that while we were still sinners," we were still no good scoundrels, "Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified," how? "By his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath or judgment through him." Paul tells Timothy in his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 6, that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Christ paid a debt you could not pay. Christ did what you could not and cannot do for yourself. You can't be good enough. None of us can be good enough. No, not one. No one is good except who? God. Except Jesus Christ. And it is through his sacrifice that you and I have a hope for heaven. Paul said to the Roman brethren, he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized what? Into his death. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead, you might be also." He goes on in verse 4, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of what? Sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also be with him, also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, nor over us if we're in Christ. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." There's an a song, and Lisa, we're talking about this week, by George Strait. And the title of it is "A Love Without End, Amen." And I was thinking about the chorus of the song. In the chorus, he sings, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It is a love without end, amen." God loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever really know. He has done everything within his power to give you an opportunity to be freed from your sins. God desperately wants to have a relationship with you. He desperately wants to see you do what's best for your soul. But the thing is, God's not going to make any of us do the right thing. He's given us enough freedom of choice to decide for ourselves. What will you do with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Being a good person is simply not enough. Being a good person makes you just like everybody else in the world, lost in their sins. Being a good person is not going to get any of us into heaven. Being a child of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, is what will get us into heaven. Christ will take us there if we will but simply obey. Maybe you've considered your life today and you know that you've lived a life that men may say is good. Men may say you're a good person. But men are not going to get you into heaven. Men are not going to save you eternally. Only Christ can do that. Will you obey Christ today? Have you immersed yourself into Christ? Have you been immersed? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you confessed Christ before men? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized? Maybe today you're ready to do that. Are you a child of God who's wandered away from the truth? You have fallen from grace. You're trying to be good, but reality is you're not good enough. Not on your own. None of us are. But Christ can make us what we need to be. Do you want to allow Christ to make you what you need to be? Why don't you come to Him and ask for His forgiveness? If it's in a public way and you need to ask forgiveness of the church, let me encourage you to do that. If you just have a need and need prayers in your life, we would love to do that with you as well. Whatever your need, please come as together we stand and sing.